This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
What's up?
Welcome to Cut to It. How are you, Gerard?
Man, I'm well. Wonderful. Fantastic. How about you?
Good. Can I get one? I don't want three. Just one. How are you, Gerard?
I can't be all... Well, how are you going to limit me? I don't feel like being... I'm not being limited today.
I'm just joking. Relax.
It's almost Black History Month. I will not be limited.
Speaking of Black History Month... Backstage
Joe pulled up.
Joe, please step up to the mic. How are you today?
Good afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing?
What up, man?
Doing excellent. Please walk us through, how does a brother like Joe operate moving forward in Black History Month?
It seems like every time Backstage Joe gets called to the microphone, there's some discerning event that needs to take place.
Oh, I told you, you only reveal yourself from the shadows of the Cut to It production when you have something pertinent to say. And we had some conversation outside of the studio that is
it was hilarious.
Well,
the names will be protected,
please,
to hide the innocent. But there is a
individual
yes. that I know very well. Mm-hmm. That is in the.
You just know.
We just know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
She came on and at
the individual
that went to her house. Excuse me. This individual that I heard from a guy who my cousin Bradley knows, your buddy John, and said that she went home.
Yeah. Hold on. You see
all
the,
those names.
You see the difference between right. a Black storyteller and a white storyteller?
Because mine would have been like, so what happened was.
And man, the names.
Boogie was over there. Or, and then Ray Ray.
I was going to go with Bootsy, but like,
no,
I didn't
stop
see.
Lying. He said Bradley.
Bradley.
Brad. And John. Bradley's cousin, John.
Aunt Karen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So this young lady was telling me about what they're learning in school, obviously, for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all familiar with that. And they are? Yes, you went to school, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Just making sure.
You went to school.
I think.
I don't know how far you went, but at some point in time, they probably discussed this.
Right.
So she was going over some of the topics that they were going to be going over in class to pay homage to Black History Month.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm all ears now. And you guys know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, though. Worded the way it was worded, they were...
Reviewing.
Yes, reviewing. So, do we review Christmas?
No, we have Christmas.
Okay.
We celebrate Christmas.
Do we review Thanksgiving?
Celebrate that, too.
Easter?
Celebrate it.
All right. Hanukkah?
Celebrate.
All right.
All of the above.
All of the above. We don't review. Let's review Black History Month.
So, they were celebrating Black History Month. In this school.
Okay.
And I will phrase it to our listeners as I phrased it to you gentlemen, and it's going to be multiple choice.
Okay. As far as options.
As far as options on what they were going to be learning throughout the month.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So one might be, you know, the famous Martin Luther King Jr. speech on how it... you know, solidified and everybody understood where it was coming from.
Impact.
For equal rights and impactfulness. Yep. That's an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't go there.
Okay. All right.
Second one, maybe we can go with Rosa Parks and her impact in the South.
Okay.
Montgomery bus boycott.
Yep. Maybe a little Harriet Tubman.
Ooh.
Yep. Just to understand the influence and the impact and what she went through and everything.
So many different choices.
Right. So many choices.
Yes. And then the final?
The final one. They were going to learn how to step.
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 Hold up.
Wait a minute. And don't put no boom in it. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman,
Rosa Parks.
And then stepping.
This young lady looked me in the eye and said they were going to be going over and learning how to step.
Okay. Who are they going over to?
So there was another individual in her class.
Mm-hmm. Who was a minority.
Who was a minority. Mm-hmm.
Who was black.
He was black. He was black.
I'm splitting hairs here, but yes. Yes. Yeah. And they were going to celebrate Black History Month. And this young lady's mother happened to be who was a Delta, which I'll let you two expand on what that means in the air quotes here, world of stepping.
Yeah. So in Black History Month, we're going to review options.
We're celebrating.
So let me get this right. So you guys, our two youngest are the same. Well, used to be two youngest.
Yeah, I got a 1-year-old and a 6-year-old. Your youngest is six.
But so Ducey and Mia are the same. Mm-hmm. So you're asking a group of children for Black History Month, do you want to read, remember, and regurgitate?
Reflect any of these.
All of those, or do you want to dance?
Yeah.
That'd be like asking Mia and Deuce, hey, you can have cake for dinner, chicken, or Brussels sprouts.
Right.
Which one you think she gonna pick?
Right.
Brussels sprouts. She gonna
They want the activity. Yes. And that is, this is not to demean, because we got a bunch of listeners, it's not to demean the Divine Nine, any of the historically black sororities, fraternities. They have a rich history.
A rich history.
MLK was an alpha. There's so many fraternities, sororities who have had meaningful contributions to not just black history overall.
They serve the community.
However,
should not be.
Right.
Hold on now, before we even get there. Now, is the teacher of this individual's class a Delta?
No.
Black?
No.
Cut to it.
So the influence came from where?
A parent. What made this teacher decide to go? This is the route we're going?
Yeah, right.
Yes, like, how is
the curriculum built by a parent and not the school system, or at least the teacher,
We're going to skip over Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King.
Malcolm X, anything.
Harriet Tubman. I'm going to teach you how to. We're going to step.
Right.
Yep. Like I said, not that there's anything wrong
with it. It's nothing wrong with it. It's the fact that it's an option. Like, there's so many other activities.
Yeah,
they could have experienced
or individuals that we can that we can talk about, and
we're living in North Carolina.
Frederick Douglass, right?
So they're gonna.
He was a DB, right?
Whoa! You might get another technical. You go into the showers.
Penalty box for you, buddy.
Yeah. And so how old is her? How old is this instructor? This educational provider?
I would assume north of 50.
So 50-year-old white lady has given a classroom full of non-black folks.
There's two. She told me. This individual.
So the dynamic of
the
class.
On the table.
So there's two black kids in the class, and then one of the parents of the black kids wasn't offended. She goes, ooh.
I know what to do.
I'm going to teach them how to step. So, come on, dog. For Black History?
For Black History.
This is so disrespectful.
There's so much more that we could have done. And I don't know if the teacher just wanted to. All right, I got two she black kids in my class.
Let me let them have a voice.
Yeah, because
I want the
temperature of the country right now, I better listen to them, which is fine, right?
You want to. So you're going to categorize them like, well, I know little Lisa can't read, but
she killing it on that stomp.
Come on, man.
Yeah, just so many different ways. We could have went.
That is so
Thurgood Marshall, W.E.B. Du Bois. Like, there's so much to do.
So unacceptable.
It's a tree with a bunch of roots.
George Washington Carver.
Oh, my God, right.
How about doing one, try to attempt one of his inventions?
Yeah.
Right? Creating something.
Right. Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Nope.
We're going to step.
We stepping.
And then the parent falls into the trap.
Right.
She going to sign herself up.
Right.
I don't know if there's an approval form coming home. I'm not sure.
We didn't have the Black History curriculum built way in advance. Like, this ain't our first year doing this.
It's
this
only
ain't
one
new.
Damn month.
Right.
And it's right after Christmas.
The short one.
Yeah. It's
the shortest. The short one. That's what it is.
Hey, the short month. Yeah. Let's put it on there. Right?
Every 4 years, you get an extra day.
Oh, so here's the thing.
That's all I'm saying.
Does that extra day fall this year so y'all can get y'all some
extra
step?
That was last year.
I was public schooled. I don't know.
Gosh, that's horrible, dog.
So
that's this individual that you don't know but very close to. What did they decide?
Of course, she could have cake or she could have Brussels sprouts. Yeah. She chose the cake, yeah. And she was ecstatic.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we're starting to understand more of this social media game from Backstage Joe, the whole TikTok thing, like, she was all about it, trying to figure out different moves and steps. So she was going all – she's going to get an A. I'm going to promise you that. She's going to get an A, so I've heard, this individual that I don't know.
But – so tell us, how did they divide out the teams?
Well, I mean, there's a team captain. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's pretty easy.
The story just keeps getting worse and worse.
I wonder which two are the team captains?
These are your tax dollars at work in the school system.
A very good friend of mine who speaks on another network on Thursday night always taught me that you have to paint a picture for the audience, but I think this picture's painted.
Right? Yeah,
we know who team captains are.
Oh, God.
We know.
Please tell, though, who are the team captains?
It's Bradley and Karen.
There's a damn Karen in here, all right. That's for sure.
No, so this young lady that I may or may not know very well is super excited to do it.
Yeah.
Just, and, you know, to go for the real for a second. Yeah. I know we're having fun, but... Mm-hmm.
I've been real the whole time.
So... So if Backstage Joe can be serious for a second, learning that culture and learning all the individuals we talked about, obviously we've taught in our household. Mm-hmm. I got two fine young gentlemen like you guys that she learns from. Mm-hmm. If she was around, okay. And I knew who she was, that she has the luxury of understanding,
having access,
and looking, you know, towards the world. Yeah. And, you know, I heard. Like, just for a quick example, around the holidays, this young lady might have gotten a shirt or a sweatshirt that said, just be a good human. Mm-hmm. And that's what these fine parents of this little girl try to instill in her. Uh-huh. So I know we make light of it, and, you know, we hear she does her best to be able to include all and make everybody equals. But I just thought it was hilarious. And, of course, I had to tell you guys about it when I found out about it through the grapevine that they actually were going to be teaching stepping for Black History Month.
Gosh. Sad indictment. But at the same time, man, it's...
That's awful.
It is.
It's awful.
We don't have a cane at the house. Like, I don't...
That's fraternity.
Oh, sorry.
Stupid ass.
Because the Greek folks are not going to come at me.
Bro, you know how sad that is for Black history?
Right.
You teaching these kids how to step. I don't want to say it. That is so racist. You're going to say for Black history, y'all need to identify.
Right.
So we're going to teach y'all how to dance.
Right. It's just, like I said, It's definitely
it's a reach.
It's a big time reach. Oh, it's a big time reach because
awful,
again, the contributions of our fraternity sororities is unparalleled. However, crazy? There's just so many different ways that that we could just go beyond. And you just look at a normal Black History Month curriculum where there are things that get glossed over. There are things that we don't always include. But man, we at least could have got to the MLKs, to your point, the Rosa Parks, to the Thurgood Marshalls, to all these other things. We went straight to that. That's what we're going to spend the month on. Holy.
Y'all going to spend a month. Shit, it's going to take about 2 months for all them offbeat to.
I'm done. Ask me who we got next.
I'm offended. I mean, that parents of that daughter is offended.
I'm going to March by the time
Hey, I got to get inside of this. Right. Who we got on the podcast today?
Coming up on the Cut To It podcast, we've got Chris Smith, a defensive end for the Las Vegas Raiders. He was all SEC at Arkansas. He's a father of three and a native of North Carolina. Chris Smith on the Cut To It podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, we appreciate you. Our first segment is called Get Iced Up. So you're from North Carolina. You're familiar with Smitty. You're familiar with Ice Up, son. This is our version of icebreakers. We got to get you iced up. They're random icebreaker questions. You don't know what's coming. Might be a follow-up, might not be. But Smitty will get you the first one, and it's time to get iced up.
Okay, well, I ain't studied for this one, but I really.
Nah, you ain't. You went close to.
Oh, I love it. You know why? Because it is an open book test about you, Christopher.
Gotcha, I got you.
So if you fail, it's because you stupid.
I'm ready for it, though. I'm ready.
Oh, all right. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of failure. That's what I'm afraid of.
Why is that?
Just because, I mean, you want to, you know, win, like, in everything, you know. So when, especially, I guess, when it comes to ball or whatever, and just things in life, you just want to win at everything. You know, you can't win everything. No. You know what I'm saying?
You want to win at everything. Like, everything,
you ain't never learned failure. I hate failure, man. I hate.
But you don't. But you've learned from a failure, though, haven't you?
Yeah, you learn from it, though. Exactly. You hate it, but exactly. You know it's a bittersweet, though. You learn from it, though. You know what I'm saying?
Necessary evil.
Yes.
If you could learn a new skill, what would it be?
A new skill. I would. You know, I'm a music guy, man. I always, like, you know, growing up in church, I played drums and stuff like that. I always wanted to learn how to play the lead guitar. I don't think a lot of people know that about me, though. I always wanted to learn how to. My cousin could do it real well. He never taught me, though. But I was always a drummer in church. But I always wanted to learn how to play the lead guitar.
Now, would you want time? Because sometimes drummers at church, they sometimes run in a little bit late.
I did.
I know
church my mom folks. Was the choir director, you know, so she'll give me that look, though, you know. But I did. Yeah.
Y'all came from the same house. How you late? And she drove.
I know, man. Especially when I was able to drive, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She was like, man, I was late, man. I was late.
Down there at the fellowship hall, up to no good.
Oh my God. are you a restless or restful sleeper?
I think both. I think I'm both, man. I mean, I guess it is really. I've been told, you know, that I snore and stuff like that and everything, but like. I think it's a little bit of both, though. Mm. I think really mostly, you know, this is my first time playing on the West Coast team. So I ain't gonna lie, I'm in bed by, but first I was in bed by like 7 o'clock. So that was restful sleeping, you know, because but it was kind of going back and forth because I had to get used to the time change, but it's getting better now. So I say a little bit of both, though.
All right. Last one. This is a curveball. You're in Las Vegas. You're also currently, formerly the Oakland Raiders, being on the West Coast. Oakland has a huge Latino community.
Facts. Facts, they do.
How do you say football in Spanish?
Oh, gosh.
In Espanol.
In Espanol.
In Espanol, that's how you say it?
No. almost cursed.
Come on, Chris.
Hey, I'm telling you, them defensive players. So you don't know. Would you like me to tell you?
Yes, I need that.
All right. Football Americano. Football.
Football. Yeah, you got
Football Americano.
The accent mark is over.
Football Americano.
Football Americano.
Yeah, that was a good curveball. I did not know that one.
I said,
I was like, I was trying to, I was like, hold on, the way you came with it afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
No, I was holding your hand, Chris. I was holding your hand.
And you still want to act up.
That boy still want to get on the teapot ride on the full stomach. No, you just ate.
We tried, bro.
You just ate.
But it's crazy though, you say that. I did not know that they have a big, you know, Spanish base, you know.
No, you did not know that?
I did not know that until I got here.
Oh, till you got here. See, that just shows the East Coast, West Coast
facts.
The lack of knowing each other. Because when I moved to Charlotte, there were things I did not know about. The southern culture of
the South
time.
Yeah, I know it's different. Yeah.
Different.
Way more laid back when you
laid
South,
back.
Man.
No, I laid think back vice versa. Be, like, man, yeah. laid back is an hour late.
Yeah.
The South is you 2 hours late on the wrong day.
Yeah. And, hey, I was gonna say it's not even punctuality thing, it's just everything moves slower.
Wait, let me tell you a quick story. One time I had just a landscaping guy. Scheduled appointment 1, 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This dude came Thursday at 3. Hey, yo.
You got it mixed up.
Yo, my man. what you doing? Oh, I'm here with such and such. Hey, bro, you about 2 days late and you 2 hours late too.
Oh, I would have been pissed.
Look, get off my property. Oh, what's the big deal? Had it on Tuesday. I blocked off my schedule.
Yeah.
And you come on Thursday at 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't work with you.
South is different, man. But you get accustomed to it. Now you're honorary Southerner now.
I don't bring your ass on 2 days. Still
he don't define himself. We ain't gonna let that dude define us.
I run into quite a bit of those though.
that's the South though, man. Yeah, I would have been heated at that too.
So what has been the eye-opening culture change for you coming from, you know, Rowan County, coming from a small town, mm-hmm. of North Carolina, mm-hmm. going to, you know, Las Vegas / Oakland, like that West, like Las Vegas and Oakland are West Coast, like mm-hmm. they rule West Coast,
yeah.
they busy West Coast, mm-hmm. and they are get out my way, I'll pull a gun out on you at the red light West Coast.
Yeah.
Yes, facts. I feel like mostly with me coming here, I mean, other than the time change, but you know, just, you know, you West Coast is a vibe though. I ain't gonna lie, it is a vibe where, you know, that it is unmatched from the East Coast. But I think the one thing that I do miss, and it's different out here, like, is the Southern hospitality.
Yes, you know, I agree.
Yeah. And everything like that. So that's one thing that I do miss. Like, you know, I'm walking through my neighborhood and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And they just walk right past you. Like, so, you know, they just walk right past you and stuff like that. But I think that's, you know, but as far as just everything else though, man, it's beautiful. Like, especially people think when you in Las Vegas, they think you're on the strip every day, you know, but I stay in Henderson, Nevada. So this is
my, my brother is a fireman in mm-hmm. Las Vegas in Hendersonville. So he works out of there.
Yeah. And it's like a vibe, man, out here where, You know, it's not, you ain't gotta, you know, people, you know, especially back home, country town people, oh, you just out there gambling every day. That's my mama said, you gambler. I'm not a gambler, first of all. But you know, that's what they first think. But it's really like really nice places out here, man. And especially the Henderson area and stuff like that, man. Really nice places, man.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we gotta pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at CutToItPodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
What did you aspire? What did you want to be growing up?
I always I thought I was gonna be the next LeBron James, the 6'1".
LeBron James.
I thought I was, but it didn't work out that way. Till my high school coach got on me and everything. But I didn't play football. I always played in Little League and stuff like that, football. But I always, you know, ran track when I was little, basketball, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I didn't play football my freshman year. Oh, because my mom and dad, it was like, we want you to focus on your grades. So they had to choose one. So I come from a basketball family. So I was like, you know, I'm going to play basketball. I played as a freshman on varsity. And he's passed away. But my high school coach, man, he's like, you crazy. You can get an $80,000 scholarship. Are you crazy or whatever like that? You're never going to make it in basketball. And I was like, man, you just hate him. But then I came out my sophomore year for football, man, and like, I always played when I was little, but what you call it, like it just clicked. Everything just clicked, man. And just coming off the edge as a speed rusher. So yeah, man, that's how it all came and came into place though. But I did have dreams, like I guess like most people, of being a basketball player.
Where are you from and the place you call your hometown?
Salisbury, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, is there like a little small? Is that
he giving you the next largest town?
Yeah. I'm talking about yo. No,
you ain't gonna fool. See, I'm from North Carolina. Yeah. You ain't gonna about to fool me.
I got it right here.
You ain't about to fool me.
I don't want to.
I know where you from.
I don't want to pronunciate it incorrectly, like, but I also want you to tell me
if you was from
hometown. Mr. Smith.
Yeah, if you would have been from Salisbury, you would have said North Rowan. You would have said Salisbury. Yeah, West Rowan is not Salisbury.
Where
bro.
Are you?
That's what it is.
No, where?
My high school was in Mount Ulla.
Yeah.
Mount Ulla.
But my home address is Salisbury.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Since you said home address, we're going to let you slide.
So Mount what?
Mount Ulla.
You play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You've experienced some highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some unique things about your hometown that I'll let you chew on. 80% of the residents at least completed high school. 15% of the residents have received bachelor degrees or higher. Is that a fair assessment from your observation of leaving and coming back?
I would believe that. I mean, we got a lot of
I can see his mind working now. That's why Jerome act the way he act,
Romy.
I believe that. You got a lot of people graduated high school, but, you know, in college, you know, they'll get homesick or, they'll party too much. And then, you know, after year one or whatever, or year two, they out, you know. Wow. So I believe that.
Or it's just not even on your radar. You mentioned what he was dreaming about being LeBron. Like, I don't even think I really dreamt, like in high school or anything like that. I worked for Balo, and I was a cashier and I was a bagger. And I, real talk, for a while, I would see our general manager come in, and he had a brand new Ford F-150 truck. And for a good bit, even my senior year of high school, bro, I really sat and thought about, man, if I just stay home
and I work my butt off at this grocery store,
I can be
a general manager and I'll drive around the F-150. Mm-hmm. You don't go many, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but you see so many people when you're back home, you're not exposed. When you're from a small town, you're not exposed to some of those larger things. Like when you do get those opportunities to go visit a college campus, or you get an opportunity to hear a guest speaker come to your high school that someone on the staff maybe knows or something like that. Or you do have that rare occurrence where there's like for me, Deems May, you know, tight end, mm-hmm. comes back and talks to you. You don't see those things when you're from a small town. So I can honestly say for a while, like, I didn't have a dream. Like, I was like, all right, I just do what everyone else does. Or you want to go work at, everyone else works at furniture factories or whatever it is that these small towns are known for. You just kind of hop in line, and next thing you know, you're on the factory line doing what everyone else does. So, I mean, Chris, hop in, but that's kind of how it is sometimes when you're at a small town in North or South Carolina or some of these rural areas in the South.
That's crazy you say that, because that was one of the reasons it might be country and South, but I went to Arkansas because it's like it reminded me, certain parts reminded me of home, even though it was far away from home. But everybody know Arkansas, you got Little Rock, Pine Bluff, and all that, and where the school is, Fayetteville. Certain parts reminded me of back home. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I committed right away. And then, you know, everybody from like, you know, Salisbury, Mount Ulla, and everything, like you say, Moores, all that space and everything, everybody just got that, like, that Southern hospitality. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was in Arkansas, you know, everywhere you go, especially, you know, being playing for the Razorbacks, whether you are the pro team anyway or whatever. But yeah, like, I mean, this is that Southern hospitality. I committed right off the bat or whatever. And I always told my mom and dad, like, it was like, you like it here. And then when we came out and did my official visit or whatever and everything, they was like, you're right. It does, like, certain parts remind you of back home. And I think that's why I committed so fast.
Did you also commit because you had no other option?
And it's crazy you say that. I would say yes, because of just seeing so many guys before me, like they would kind of like stay close to home and they didn't like, you know, succeed and stuff. And I was one of them. I had to get away.
So you had the highs of winning a championship in high school.
Yeah.
What were some of the lows of that success?
I would say, and y'all would be some of the first to hear this. Okay, having the big junior year, because on my sophomore year, you know, that was the first time I played football, because I didn't play my freshman year. So my sophomore year, I made all conference, all county, all that. So my junior year, that's when I had the big season or whatever, 28 sacks or whatever like that. We won state championship. So it was like senior year, you know, that's when I had, you know, offers and stuff coming up and everything. And I had got hurt or whatever. And it's kind of basically, you know, kind of trying to live up to that expectation. So my senior year, I was like, and I don't make no excuses, but I had like hurt my Achilles. I had like a sprained Achilles or something like the whole season. And I had committed to Arkansas. And man, my coach, I'm glad he did, but he had stayed hard on me. Like, you're not playing good enough to beat SEC my ass and all that. He said say everything, but I was really hurt. So, and everything like that. So I guess that was one of the main things, you know, playing through injuries, but you know, you got to still like, you still got to go. And I'm glad he did that or whatever. He prepped me for college and everything like that. But that was probably one of the adversities I had to deal with and stuff like that. But I ain't gonna lie, my college coach, I would say out of any level of football that I played for, I know y'all know him, Bobby Petrino.
He got a potty mouth.
Yeah. Bobby
That's
Petrino.
That's the best way I can say.
Oh, my God. He was a little weird. I ain't going to lie. He do. He got a potty mouth. But that's one of the hardest coaches I ever played for, man. Oh, my gosh.
What'd you learn from Coach Petrino?
Great question.
But basically, I mean, he was all business, like, and, you know, he didn't take no junk or whatever like that. And basically, he just really prepped your mindset. I mean, when I first committed to Arkansas, he came to my high school, and he was like, I know you can play physically, but can you handle it mentally? And I didn't really know what that mean, you know, coming into Arkansas, stuff like that. But now, as I'm, you know, going to my eighth year in the league, and still, you know how it is, the ups and downs with the business and stuff like that, and, you know, the with football at the national, the top level, man, you gotta be, you know what I'm saying, mentally strong up top, because if you're not, it can take you this way and that way, you know what I'm saying? So that was one of the things I learned is mental toughness from Petrino as far as the football part.
What have you learned that you did not know anything about as far as the business of football?
The thing about it is they always trying to replace you, no matter how good you play. It's all about, and it's Chris Clemens is one of my guys, you know, who helped me, you know, when I was a rookie and stuff like that. He had a saying, they trying to get you the best for the cheapest. Like that. And that was one of the main things about it. And it's politics is its highest level, you know, and that's, I mean, I hear Odell say, that's one of my boys and stuff. Like the one thing that, you know, coming from college into the NFL is like, it kind of takes the fun out of it, but you got to, in the NFL, you got to like separate it to the business and football and basically put your own fun into it. Because that's, I mean, it's like, as you know, it's a business at the end of the day, you know? So that was my first experience. I mean, to give you an example, you know, I get drafted fifth round with Jacksonville. I made, you know, had a great preseason. I made the 53 with fine colors. And, you know, I was inactive the first game. I think we played Philly. And then the second game or whatever, right before we finna go play, it was the San Diego Chargers then. We finna go play them. Like, they cut me on that Saturday. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, why you cut me? Well, this guy had a concussion, and you were the healthiest man on the 53-man roster, so we got to cut you. But we're going to bring you back, though. The reason why we cut you on Saturday is because when nobody see you or whatever like that. So I'm like all sad. They're like, oh, no, don't be sad. No, we're just doing this. We want to keep you here or whatever. So we're going to put you on practice squad or whatever like that. So I was on practice squad for like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm like, man, like this how it goes. I'm down to myself or whatever. And then like when I started, the lineman got hurt or whatever, and then I'm back up or whatever. And like off of limited saps, I think I played in 6 games or whatever like that. And had 3 sacks or whatever, and, you know, finished with a good rookie season. But it's just like in the NFL now, as far as the business, like it's like you just can never get too high on your high, never get too low on your lows, man.
And let's go back, because I think people are not really following, is you play on Sunday, you release on a Saturday. The reason that's important and why teams do that is because they go into Saturday with a set mind. They already know on Saturday, Chris is not playing.
Facts.
He may be on the bus, he may be on the plane, but he ain't getting a jersey.
Yeah.
Unless something horrible happens. But even if that happens, well, his ass ain't playing. So,
facts.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they here's the worst part. Here's the worst part about that. They knew that Wednesday when he came in at 8 a.m. and he's having,
we've been planning it for days,
and he's having eggs for breakfast right now in the facility. They know Chris ain't playing. Yeah. And they also know before Friday, when it's Freedom Friday and it's a catered company coming in with that good meal, that Chris won't be playing either on Friday. Yeah.
Facts.
But yet they're practicing him, making him feel like he's part of the team, when they know at some point in the next several days, he will not be part of the team. He will not need a jersey. He may need a sideline sweatsuit, but he don't need no cleats. He don't need a mouthpiece.
Chris, how tough is it getting used to when you just walked us through when you were at West Rowan, you got almost 100 tackles, 16 sacks, you second all team SEC, and now you get to NFL.
Hold on, no. And they gave a card with his name on it, mm-hmm. with his information, his height. They gave it to the draft person. That draft person said, with the such and such we pick for the Christmas. Jacksonville Jaguars, we select Chris Smith.
And you want high.
From Arkansas.
And you're on high.
And they call you, hey, appreciate you. We love what we saw in your film. Mm-hmm. Hey, we can't wait to get you here. Yeah. And they give you, it's like a recruiting trip. They give you lobster when they recruiting you. Then they draft you. Hey, the bologna and cheese down the hall, hit the right.
So you're on that kind of high, and now you got to get adjusted to the business of the NFL. What's that transition like?
I mean, it was hard, and you know, because I mean, I got cut like my second week, and everything, and it was just crazy. Like, you know, people back home were like, "Well, he got drafted. I know he, you know, what I'm saying that's all he was gonna do. He wasn't gonna succeed in the league." But you know, they always say, like, you know, once you understand the business of the NFL, you'll be okay.
How long did it take you in your feelings to adjust to the business of the NFL?
I would say the first time I got cut, and then I would say going into my fourth year when I got traded to the Bengals. I would say that because I always tell people I done been through everything in the league, like as far as everything, you know, like nothing surprises me now. But I would say that was the, like, two times. Like, after I got traded, I was like, okay, like, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no scholarship no more. When they hear about a scholarship, this was actual, you know, contract, actual business.
What did they tell you when they traded you? Was there a conversation or a dialogue in the transaction?
Well, actually, I remember this clear as day. I was driving to go get food. It was the off season. Well, right a week before, we had just finna go on the off season workouts, and I was driving to go get food. And the GM called me. He said, "Chris, how you doing today?" or whatever. So I'm thinking like, they let me go. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, GM called. He's like, "Oh man, here it go." And you know, he's like, "Well, I think this will actually be a good thing for you." You know, because they used to always have me up and down or whatever. When I used to play, I used to produce. But he was like, "We're going to trade you to the Cincinnati Bengals." And I'm like, "Okay, we decided this morning and everything. Think this will be a good thing for you. So, you know, keep working hard, man. We wish you the best." And it was like, click.
So how did you process being traded?
It was like a shock. I was like, man, I'm going to Cincinnati, you know, and, you know, I'm with Pat, man, Drake Patrick, and Vontaze and all the boys. I was like, oh, my God, you know what I'm saying, like that. But it was actually good, though. It was somewhere where I had an opportunity, you know, to play, you know, with a guy like Michael Johnson, like I say, Pat, man, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, guys like that. So it was actually good, but it was shocking at first, though. Like you say, it's already been premeditated. So, yeah, man.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
How has this season been affected, this NFL season been affected by COVID?
Bro, it's been like, I tell people this, man, just to be like, be playing and, you know, be on a roster this year, it's just like it done made me appreciate football even more. And you know, just hats off to the whole league, the players and all that, because it's really like you're in like a jail kind of on your bye week in the Thursday night game. Like, you know, usually, you know, you can go and, you know, see your family, you know, go kick it or whatever like that. Like, you know, I got three, you know, beautiful children. Like, I haven't seen them since August.
like, because I can't
leave.
You haven't
seen your kids since August?
I haven't seen them since August, because you can't leave from out of town or whatever like that, because you have to take COVID tests every day. We got to the point now where my whole defensive back coach or whatever like that caught COVID. Our officer coordinator called a couple guys. Like, it's somebody every week that's catching it. That, Steve, we don't even go in the building. Like, we have virtual meetings from the house or whatever, and you only in the building for like an hour and a half. And that's just for practice. You know, you live.
And are you allowed?
15 minutes and you got to get out.
Are you allowed to shower in the? You know, not asking too much TMI, but it's just more.
operational.
Just because.
Wow, they're timed.
You got a time shower?
Man, yes. You like, so.
Is it hot water?
Like, example how the schedule go.
I hope it goes.
Like, you gotta be quick with it, because you gotta. We was one of those teams that was on protocol because we had a guy like every week catching COVID. So they give you like only a certain amount of guys can be in the locker room or whatever. Only 10 guys can lift, you know, like that. So like, you had to be like out the building probably, I think by what we'll get done practice at like 1:30. You got to be out the building probably like 2:30, 2:45. And you got Zoom meetings from home or whatever. Like that, it's crazy, man, like crazy.
From my vantage point, that doesn't sound like a blessing. That doesn't sound very, like, I don't know why you would, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, why you would be appreciative of being able to have a time shower and being able to, you only can lift at this time, and you basically the old school at the butcher shop or at the DMV, when your number's called, you're allowed to be served. Until your number call, you can't get up.
Yeah, facts. I would say appreciative in a way, just about, especially I was always told my brothers them this, like, about this year, about guys that, you know, that as far as like they didn't have no pro day or whatever like that, guys that's coming in, that was coming in from college or whatever, like, just think about how many guys that did, you know what, and if you wasn't a high name or whatever, like, you really just didn't get a shot. It was basically off of straight film like that. And like, how many guys, like, see, they cut, like, the guys that they had already paid. Like, you know, I got one guy that, this is my boy, he signed with the Redskins. He signed, you know, 1 year, $5 million, you know, guaranteed. Like, and they just cut him, like, just to cut costs, because you can't have no fans. Like, you can't, you know what I'm saying? Do this, that, and the third. So, like, it's a lot of money the NFL was losing. So, just to be on a roster during this time, like, it's just, like, it's a blessing in itself. And then with all the changes, because, you know, like, we go back to that business part, especially when they ain't got no fans and, you know, this, that, and the third and all that. Like, you know, you got to cut costs somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Let's roll up our sleeves and really get a little bit deeper into, you know, into Chris Smith. September 11th. We all know that was a horrible day for Americans. For you, this is also a harder day. Take us through that day. As all that stuff is going on in New York, you're at that time going about your day, but obviously that night ends in a way that no one's seen coming.
Mm-hmm. That's one of, like, that's the hardest day of my life. But I always tell people, you gotta, like, cherish and live life each and every day, because you don't know when this your last. I was, you know, with my girlfriend Batar at the time, and we actually was headed to dinner. And, you know, because she had just had, you know, our baby girl Haven. So, you know how women is, you know, I want to take her out, sure, you know, a good time. We were actually finna play the Jets on Monday night. So I took her out to eat or whatever like that and everything. And we went to like a hookah lounge or whatever, because she loved hookah and stuff like that. And as we're driving, I hit something in the road. We do a 360 spin. We hit the side of the highway. And the most craziest thing about this story is Like, you think that's the miracle? Because we got out without a scratch. My car was totaled, everything. I mean, got out without a scratch. You think that's the miracle?
And this happened where?
This was in Cleveland. And, you know, she stands on the side where the people tell you to stand. And I went in the car and was looking for my phone or whatever, because I told her to call my brother to call my teammate. This is one of my good friends. I'm Christian Kirksey, to come pick us up. And Christian was on his way, and I was trying to find my phone or whatever, but she had hers. And when I'm in the car looking for my phone, I just hear this big bang. It happened so fast from the impact. I thought it was in front of me, but it was really behind me. So I'm looking for everywhere, everything. And I actually walk down like 30 yards from the car and I see her shoe. And like, soon as like that, I seen that, like my adrenaline started running. And I walked 30 more yards and like I walked up on her body, and she was like, when I walked up on her, I knew it, like, it was gonna be a miracle for her to come back alive and everything. Like, so it was just, that was just a day that like really put life in perspective, just to like, you know what I'm saying, live, you know, every day to the full, because you don't know when it should last, you know? I tell people, like, I'm like, man, adrenaline is really a drug, because like my adrenaline was running so fast that like, that when it happened, or whatever, and they pronounced her dead, like, I didn't even, like, cry, nothing. Like, it was just, like, I was just, like, okay, like, somebody wake me up from this dream. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. It was crazy, you know? But the one thing about it is, like, that I tell people all the time, it's just, like, you know, God don't make no mistakes or nothing like that, but that you got to really, you know, cherish your loved ones and things of that nature, because like, you don't know when it should last, man, you know? And that was just something just crazy how it happened. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, what I went through on September 11th, you know? So, but that's one thing about it that people always, you know, they love and hate this about me. I always, you know what I'm saying, in a negative situation, I always see a positive. I got a beautiful daughter, you know, she turned one in August and stuff like that. And I'm just thank God she wasn't in the car and it was both of them. So at least I still have a piece of guitar, you know what I'm saying? So the one thing about it and everything like that. But yeah, man, that was a crazy day, man, for me, man. But it's one thing about it, that's the most, that going through that helped me obviously in life, but even on the field too, man. It just, that's the most top adversity you could ever go through, you know, with anything. Truly, I know the meaning of that saying. They always say, what don't kill you make you stronger, you know, because it don't get easier, but you just get stronger. And that's, you know, that's how I was able to get through and still getting through to this day, because she's never going to be forgotten, man. Never going to be forgotten.
So, Chris, how will you explain this to your children one day?
That's going to be the second hardest part. My daughter was 7 and my son was 4, but when Haven, you know, and what the crazy thing about it, but Haven, when, even though Petar passed away when she was three weeks old, and you can show her pictures of now of her mom, she still knows her mom. Like, she still knows that's her mom. Even at that young age, at 3 weeks, she still knows her mom. So I always tell people, you know, I'm getting through it, you know, I'm moving past and everything, but that's going to be the next hardest step when Haven comes to me and be like, Daddy, how did mama pass away? Or Daddy, she goes to school and be like, well, why does so-and-so have their mom? Those are going to be the hard conversations and stuff like that. But, you know, we're going to talk and, you know, get through it, man, and everything. And I have to let her know that she has her auntie. She has my sister, you know, my mom and dad, you know, Batar's mom and dad and stuff like that. So I just gotta let, you know, just let her know that. But that's gonna be the next toughest part, you know what I'm saying, like that. So.
And our last segment is called The Deep Three. They're just a series of three questions that just allow us to take the conversation to a deeper level. So Smitty, go ahead and give him the first of the deep three.
What's the most important thing you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before you learned
those lessons?
I think the most important thing I learned in my life is just basically how to take advantage of the position I'm in. And I think the main thing is, you know, before that, you know, especially, you know, being good in football and stuff like that, but before that, not knowing how blessed I am and actually seeing that I'm really blessed. I think that would be the main thing about that as far as knowing now and then prior to then.
What are you most grateful for?
My kids, man. I remember I put up a caption. I always ask God to make some better me's, man. My kids, man. They keep me driving, they keep me going. You know, they're growing up and seeing their personalities and stuff like that. And I'm just grateful for my kids. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without my kids, man.
How have the lessons of football been applied in your everyday life?
Man, these questions are good, man.
We actually do research. I don't want to know what is it like to tackle.
We were just talking
about Mekelle Harmon. What is it like to tackle?
We care,
Patrick Mahomes.
We care, but we don't care.
I care your big ass falling on Patrick Mahomes.
You're supposed to.
That's your job. You're supposed to. You're right. I would say this, man, and that's a good question, because with football, I don't know if y'all know. I know my trainer Dre told you, Steve, I'm starting a restaurant and lounge. And actually, just with doing a business and having, you know, with football, what teaches me with that is, and it really done help me as far as this year and everything, become a better businessman, is basically knowing there's going to be ups and downs, and just knowing how to keep your composure and keep moving forward. You know, I, with my restaurant lounge cloud, like I want it to happen so fast, like, but I know it's just a process. It's just going to happen, but I know it's a process with getting through, you know, this, that, and the third or whatever.
Yep.
And that's the same thing with football. Like, it was a process or whatever. This got me ready for the greater purpose, and which I'm blessed to go into my eighth year in the league and stuff like that. But it's certain process I had to go through. So that helps me in everyday life, as far as not even with my business, but just in everyday life as it is. Like, I go back to my saying, I know I sound like a broken record. You can never get too high on your highs, never get too low on your lows. You know, you got to win each day. And that's the same thing in football, about winning each day. Heck, I always tell people, you get paid to practice. And you know that Wednesday practice is hard, like, you know, Steve, that Thursday, the pass day, Friday, red zone, Saturday, walk through to do the cleaning polishes, and then you go out there and play on Sunday, you know? So, you know, just winning each day, and you do that every day in life, you know, and everything. So that would kind of answer that question about how football, my lessons in football show to teach me my lessons in life.
I appreciate you coming on, man. It's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your restaurant and your hookah bar. And I've learned this, and you can keep it if you want. You can discard it, man. But I read this a couple of weeks ago, and I've been really holding on to this, and knowing what you've been through and how much, and knowing you've been raised in a church, and also knowing how much life has tattered you a little bit. You got a little bit of, you know, you don't have that duck's back. You got some whelps and a little bit weathered.
A refinery.
Yeah, a refinery. And so when I say this and I read this to you, tell me what comes to mind.
Gotcha.
So here it goes. You ready? This is something that I believe in, and I'm going into 2021 and moving forward with, and it goes like this. I am unique. There is only one person like me. I am worthwhile, competent, and lovable.
Mm, that's powerful.
Why? That's powerful.
I would just say the first thing comes to mind to me is just, shoot, just loving yourself and believing in yourself, man, and investing in yourself. And that'll take you a long way, especially after the, you know, situation I went through a year ago. Like, that's the main thing.
You know, we're starting the beginning of the year, and yet this is a man who has, you know, according to everyone, according to Lorenzo O'Neal, we have experience in the NFL, any sports, to get paid a king's ransom to play a child's game. And with COVID going on, essential workers, people losing their jobs left and right, waiting on the government to give stimulus checks out just to keep people afloat. And these men and women are playing sports because that is their way of income. Whether you like the amounts or not, that's their way of income. And there are people, you heard Chris saying that he hasn't been allowed to see his kids. Not because he's a deadbeat, not because he's a degenerate or owes a debt to society. It's because protocol is not allowing him to see his children. And that's a major part of his life.
Yeah. I knew that there was a lot of protocol around not just NFL, but NBA and NCAA. It's gotten tightened across all these different leagues. For me, it just begs the question, why are we doing this in the first place? I hear what you're saying. It's how they're making their living, but it's also, at that point in time, that would have to be tough to play through that. Even from your vantage point, being a former NFL player, retired now, could you put yourself in those shoes right now?
I answer every time. It depends on the way my bank account is set up. Because that financial freedom gives you the ability to say, man, I don't want to deal with this.
Right.
But if you don't have any other source of income, or your source of income just started this year, all you have is this. Mm-hmm. You got mortgage payments, you got insurance bills, you have that cell phone, all of that stuff. And so, you know, not to get in his pocket, but it's just one of those things. He's also at that pivotal point where he doesn't know how much longer the NFL will allow him to still keep playing.
Right. But even you didn't see some of the higher earning players,
no,
they haven't opted out.
No,
so they're still
haven't.
Playing for some sort of reason. So
yeah,
what would be the boiling point? What would be the frustration
point?
Well,
some guys are playing because the love of the game.
Yeah.
The routine of being an athlete. And then sometimes, and I've had it in retirement. What do I do if I don't do my job that I've been doing since it wasn't a job when I was a kid. But it's a job now, and it's part of my life.
Right.
Like, when I quit playing football, I literally had a mourning period where I missed football like I missed that first love.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm not going to be able to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So it is not just a means to an end or a way to make income. It is something that is a part of you. Mm. And if you played it like I started playing football, whether it's flag or tackle, in the third grade. The third grade?
Right. It's a huge part of your life.
Man, it affects you. And you don't, what did they say? You don't realize how much you miss something until it's not available for you.
Yeah.
That's why.
So you've been sharing with our listeners.
Yep.
an excerpt from one of your readings. Yeah. Where did it come from?
It's not a meditation in a Catholic or Buddhist. It's a meditation. It's a men's meditation based on, I try to start my day every day reading God's word, and it's based on God's word, but also based on a quote or excerpt, a scripture, and then also just words of encouragement, and it's focused on men. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of men that I know question their value, question, are they worthwhile? Are they more than just making checks to bring home, you know, making expected more than just bringing home the bacon? Like, what is my worth? What is my value outside of monetary, outside of materialistics? What do I bring to the table that says I'm good enough, bare bones, mm-hmm. as who I am? And so I really love books that really focuses on and makes me think.
Yeah.
And if I'm not thinking, then I just kind of feel like I'm just, well, you know, I'm just kind of, I'm just skipping through life.
Yeah.
Right? Just walking down the street with no direction.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's something that really, I was always had a plan for football. Now I have a plan for my life outside of football. How do I impact? And really for me, it's being able to leave an imprint on the world. And really, that's my goal. And I don't know what that imprint is, but I'm learning and following that imprint right now. I feel like just me being honest and transparent.
Yeah.
And not acting like I have all the answers, but really just saying, hey, maybe in a room of 10, I'm the only jacked up person, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But then I think what you're going to find out is you're in that room of 10, and then all 10 hands can go up. Yeah. Because everyone's feeling the same thing some point in time.
But I'm confident enough to say, I don't know about the rest of you,
but I'm willing to be this.
But I want to let you know, I got problems.
As we all do, man. Yep. But hey, you are one day at a time, one step at a time. And if that's something with anyone, you have to find something that you can hold on to.
Yep.
Whether that's something that you're reading, whether it's something music that you hear inspirationally, whether it's whatever the case may be, everyone has to have something they hold on to. So, man, it's kudos to you for finding what that is and just being willing to improve every single day.
I think it's really cool. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It. Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production manager Sarah Pollock, theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton. It's on.